As we are all well aware by now, tonight, tomorrow is Tu B'Shvat. Hence, Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph that one does not recite Tachanun, Nefilas Apayim, on Tu B'Shvat. And we are perhaps all as well familiar with the minhag of many to eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat. Interesting to note that this minhag, which is quoted by none other than the Magen Avraham, in that siman Kuf Lamed Aleph that deals with Hilchos Nefilas Apayim, Halachos of Tachanun, the Magen Avraham in turn cites it from a sefer called Tikkun Yisachar, which was a sefer that I think is more properly titled Sefer Ibur Shanim Tikkun Yisachar. It was a sefer that I think goes through the minhagim of the calendar year, written by a Rabbi Yisachar ben Rabbi Mordechai ben Susan, which is a Moroccan Sephardic mechaber. He lived in the 1500s. He was born in Morocco, but made his way to Eretz Yisrael. He was a Talmud of the Maharal Bach in Yerushalayim in 1527. He then moved to Tzfas in the times of the Beis Yosef of Yosef Cairo. The sefer was originally written in around the year 1538 or so. And just interesting that the Magen Avraham cites this, and this appears to be the source for the minhag of eating fruit on Tu B'Shvat. It's cited not just by the Magen Avraham, but also by the Pri Chadash and by Eliyahu Rabbah, other Gedolei Achronim, and the sefer Tikkun Yisachar, again, writing at this point in Tzfas in the 1530s, writes as follows. He says that the 15th of Shvat, and I guess he was writing in reference to a specific year, is the fifth day of the week, like it is this year, just by chance. It's a Rosh Hashanah La'ilanos. One does not fast on that day, he writes. We don't recite Nefilas Apayim Tachanun on that day in davening. And then he writes, and this is the key line that the Magen Avraham quotes, V'noagim ha'ashkenazim. Ashkenazim have a minog. So he's a Moroccan Sephardic mechaber writing in Tzfas. And he says, the Ashkenazim have this custom, laharbos bo b'mine peros ilanos, to laharbos bo, to have a multiplicity of. Doesn't say eat it. He just says laharbos bo. Reminds you of the Hasidic rebbes when they host another Hasidic rebbes. They pile the table high with big platters of fruit. Do they ever touch it or eat it? I don't know. They take pictures of it. Laharbos bo. Just to have a lot of fruit. Laharbos bo mine peris ilanos, fruit of the trees. L'chvod shmo shel yom, in recognition of the day. Okay, so there's a couple points of interest here. That one line, the Ashkenazim had this minhag, he writes. He doesn't say you have to eat it. He just says laharbos bo, to have a lot of fruit. And also notice, he doesn't say anything about shivas haminim. Somehow that seems to be an emphasis, Shivas Haminim. But this is the source, it seems, of this minog of having fruit on Tu B'Shvat. Not a word of Shivas Haminim. He says simply, Laharbos bo b'mine peros ilanos l'chvod shmo shel yom. Now, although he says that this is a minog of the Ashkenazim, the Kapachayim, a more relatively more recent Sephardic posek writing in the early 1900s, says that the Sephardim also have this minog. Okay, so maybe it started as a minog of Ashkenazim in Tzfas at that time, in the 1500s, but it certainly evolved to become a minog of the Sephardim too. But just thought it was interesting that he doesn't say you have to eat them, number one, although he might mean eat it. He just says the expression, laharbos bo, but he also doesn't say anything about Shivas Haminim. He just says, mine peros ilanos. So I don't know how the minhag evolved to emphasize Shivas Haminim. It is found in Sefer Moed L'Chol Chai of Reb Chaim Palagi, another great Sephardic posek, a few centuries later, who says that yesh she'ena noagin klalas adei peros, some don't have the minig at all to have these peros put out. Yesh noagin, some have the minig, he writes, dafka shiva mine peros d'nishtabcha b'hen Eretz Yisrael. So he writes, B'chaim Palagi writes, some have this minig, dafka shiva saminim. This is the evolution, it seems, of this minog that is taken for granted as a minog to observe on Tu B'Shvat. Now, why is this significant? Why is this the minog? This is not the Yom Hadin of Peros Ilanos. The Yom Hadin is not Tu B'Shvat for Peros Ilanos. It's rather a Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos that has ramifications with regard to calculations of the year in which the fruit is attributed to, which may have ramifications insofar as the Trumas and Maisus are concerned. But this is not the Yom Hadin of Ilanos, right? The Yom Hadin of Peres Ha'ilan is Shavuos, not Tu B'Shvat. So why? And what is the significance of this minog to eat Peros Ha'ilan on Tu B'Shvat? So, it's an interesting question. One suggestion, and again, I might not explain why the minog is dafka on Tu B'Shvat, but one interesting suggestion is a Yerushalmi, the very, very last Yerushalmi in Kedushin, in Maseches Kedushin, in which the Yerushalmi tells us, a famous Yerushalmi, which tells us that Reb Chizkiya, quoting in the name of Rav, says, Asid Adam Litain Din V'cheshbon, a person will have to give an accounting, ultimately, and based in Shalmala, Al Kol Sheras Ein of Lo Achal, for all that he saw and did not eat. Person has to give a din b'cheshbon for all that he saw and did not eat. Now, why is someone supposed to give a din b'cheshbon for all that he saw and did not eat? So there's different interpretations amongst the Nosei Kelim of the Yerushalmi, the Pnei Moshe, the Korban Eida. Is this because you're causing yourself tsa'ar? And we know that Chazal are opposed to causing oneself unnecessary tsa'ar, as we find Lagabe the Nazir. Chazal say that the Nazir has to be mechaper for the fact that he was causing himself that kind of physical deprivation, not eating grapes, not drinking wine. Is that what the Gemara here is worried about? That a person is going to give a din cheshbon for causing himself physical discomfort by not eating what he sees? The other interpretation was the following. Pnei Moshe writes, the reason he will give a din cheshbon for that which he saw and did not eat is because when you see something that is perhaps enticing to eat, and we're not referring to the artificial concoctions of today's sugar manufacturing age. We're talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu's natural peros and natural grown fruits and vegetables, perhaps. So Pnei Moshe writes, the reason is because if a person doesn't eat what he sees, that means he's not looking for opportunities to say brachos and to give hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, who created such wondrous, enjoyable types of foods to sustain human life. And that's the concern. You got to give a din v'cheshbon for not having taken advantage of enjoying the pleasures of Kadosh Baruch Hu provides us with to sustain human life. And the Gemara Yerushalmi concludes, Rabbi Elazar was concerned about this statement in the name of Rav. Rabbi Elazar, presumably Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, was concerned about the statement of Rav. And therefore the Gemara says, Yerushalmi says, he would save up his coins. Matzmiach le'pritin. He was so concerned about this statement of Rav that a person is going to be held accountable for not enjoying the fruits and vegetables that Kadosh Baruch Hu has created in this world and for not giving Kadosh Baruch Hu brachos and hodaos for those wonderful gifts of the nature of the world, of the Teva Ha'olam. So he would save up coins, matzmiach le'pritin, va'achel b'hon, and he would then use those coins to eat mikol meila from every item, chada b'shaita, once a year. At least one day a year I should taste this. One day a year I should taste that. One day a year I should taste this. He would look for opportunities throughout the year sorry, he'd save up coins throughout the year, and then once a year he'd say, okay, time to enjoy this fruit, time to enjoy that vegetable. So even if he didn't have the money to purchase it on a regular basis, once a year, give a Kaddish Baruch Hu brachas vados for that bracha. So this might be the source suggests some, maybe a source. You know, maybe Tu B'Shvat was identified as a Chada B'Shaita opportunity to give Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that should be the focus of those who are going to be Mar B'Bemine Peros to give Brachos and Shavach Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the closing minute that we have, since we saw that Chaim Kalaji in Mordechai Kol Chai writes that some have the minog that's Dafka Shavimine Peros in Ishtabcha Behen Eretz Yisrael, we know that the very last of those Shivas Haminim, Eretz Zeis Shemen U'Devash. So, although perhaps it is also well known, Devash does not mean, presumably, according to many interpretations, what we generally refer to as honey. Rather, as Targum Yonason says, and this is quoted in Sefer Birchas David, Targum Yonason writes that Devash refers to Umin Tum Tumrayaha of Din Devash. From the dates of Eretz Yisrael, you make honey. You make honey. Or as Yerushalmi, he cites, says with Eirish, Devash refers to the dates. I'm not sure if it's as common here as it is in Eretz Yisrael. Do they commonly sell Devash Tamarim? I think in Israel it's called Silan. Is that correct? Date honey? Silan? It's in Eretz Yisrael, it's more of a common product. Not sure if it's so common here, but Devash Tamarim, not Devash Devarim. Devash Tamarim is what the Pasuk is referring to. That is what Targum Yonason tells us. From the dates of the land, you can produce honey. I guess, again, not sure why it's called Silan, but that's how it's marketed in Eretz Yisrael. So we'll conclude the discussion here this evening. Kann ich mich erst schon mal sagen, was ich sage, ich habe mich hier bei Thomas Schneemann, ich habe mich hier bei Thomas Schneemann,